Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now the point of the parable is given to us in the next verse, verse number 20. So is he, says the Lord Jesus, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And God will bless to us the reading of his word. I had in mind this evening to speak something concerning the greatest tragedy in life. From this passage that we have read together, something concerning the greatest tragedy in life. And the greatest tragedy in life is not aeroplane crashes, nor is it threat of nuclear war, but the greatest tragedy in life is to move through and not know God. That is the greatest tragedy in life. To move through the course of our time here and not to know God. That is the man that we have read together. Someone came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Master, I want you to speak to my brother and I want you to divide the inheritance. And the Lord Jesus says, well, it's not because a man is in abundance or a man has great possessions that his life is in his possessions. For there's many that have great possessions and I don't know life. And there's many that have great possessions materially in this world and they don't know satisfaction and true joy. And the greatest tragedy in life is to move through and never know God. That's what happened to this man. He moved through his lifetime and he never knew God. And at last, he moves out and still without God. We have some things in verse number 15. Some things in relation to the present life. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Life is not calculated according to the abundance of material possession. But then we have some things in relation to eternity, that which is beyond this life. And God can say to the man in verse number 20, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And the Lord Jesus can say, So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. According to the prophet or the Old Testament scripture, God has set eternity in every man's heart. God has set eternity in our hearts. That is, in every being. In every person, there is a consciousness, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, there is a consciousness of something that is beyond the present life. Now, many are going to try and bypass the issue But God has set eternity in our hearts. And deep within our being, deep within our spirit, we know that there's something beyond the present life. This man only lived for the present and didn't consider the future. Why is it that man occupies with things that are only temporary and things that are only passing and spends the fullness of his days in the pursuit of those things? It's because man has, by reason of sin, become insensitive to the mind of God. And really, if we're honest, each one of us will say that we move through and move to please ourselves. And it's only pride in the heart of man that will dismiss what he can't understand when it comes to the things of God. There's a revelation given to us in the Bible, the Word of God, as to the mind of God for mankind in the present day. And we can dismiss it if we will. But it's only pride in the heart of man that will not bow to the will of God. And why is that so? Because the Bible revelation tells us that man is a sinner. He was born that way. The psalmist David could say, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. They were born that way, and they lived that way. The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And so we live that way. And there's a sad ending to that course unless there's an intervention of God. We die that way. Because the Lord Jesus has said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. But glory to God, the message of the gospel intercepts the pathway of man. The message of the gospel cuts across the pathway of man. And it tells them that there's an answer for sin. And the answer is forgiveness. And the forgiveness is only found in Christ. Now this man that we have been reading about moved through the course of his life and he didn't know God. It's God's intention that man should live to glorify his name. The great God of heaven intends that mankind should live to glorify him. Here's a man that just lived for himself. It's a sad tale. But I'm persuaded on this point that it's repeated many times over in this old world tonight. A man that has lived for himself and ended in tragedy because he knew not God. I want you to notice some things. Verse number 13, we have things longed for. He was a man that was after the inheritance. And maybe he wanted a bit more than what he was getting. And there were things that he longed for. Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance. Things longed for. Covetousness. And then in number 16, verse number 16, we have things labored for. It says the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He had labored for that. He had worked diligently for that. He had spent many hours in the field that the produce might show great increase. And there were things that were labored for. The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. That's what the Lord Jesus is telling us. And then in verse number 19, there's things looked for. This man, after he had accumulated all the increase of the field, he sits back and he says, well, now just what am I going to do? My barns aren't big enough. And he says, I'll pull down the barns and I'll build greater. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you've got much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Things looked for. He was looking on to the days of his life. I'm telling you, they didn't look far enough, but we'll come to that in a moment. And finally, in verse number 20, we have the voice of God. Things longed for, things looked for, things labored for, and God says, thou fool, This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? What's that? Things lost. At last, what did the man have? When he stood before the God of heaven, what did he have? My, that's what counts, you know. That's what's going to count in the end. My standing before the God of heaven. And this man didn't have it. And all those things that he had acquired and that he was anticipating as he would move through in the days of his life upon earth. At last, they're lost. Material possessions are necessary. We all need them. We all need them to get on through this life. But the point that the Lord Jesus raises is that those possessions can be used for the glory of God. And that's where this man failed. See, either one of two things will happen. Either I will be taken from them, as in this case, or they will be taken from me. Now, this man came to the point where God spake to him. And we said on a night previously, we're not out to prove the existence of God. We accept that God exists because there's evidence to our souls as we view the creation about us. God has showed his handiwork in creation around, and God has spoken to us in his word. And so when we come to a consideration of the message of the gospel that tells me that God wants to intervene in my life at the present time rather than at the end when he says things have gone forever. He wants to intervene now in my life. And it's through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered at Calvary, who died there. That's the way God wants to intervene and put purpose into my life. Take up the ruins and the past that is so dark and marred and scarred by sin. He wants to take it up and mold a person for the glory of his name. And he wants to do that when he puts on offer the forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. You think that grand? I do. I think that the greatest message that can fall on human ears, that there's a God in heaven who has shown his interest and has shown his concern and has shown his love toward humanity. And he has sent the Lord Jesus Christ that he might be our Savior. The poet put it this way, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost. He offers free to all. Now we come to this man, and he lived a self-centered life. He lived a life that was just full for himself. And I'm wondering if you could answer his question. What was the question he asked? Well, the question he asked is, what shall I do? Here he is. He has gathered in the harvest, and his barns aren't big enough to store all his grain. And so he asks a question. And he says, what shall I do? I wonder what your answer would have been to that question. I wonder what my answer would have been to that question. He seems to have left it open-ended for us. What shall I do? But he didn't leave it open-ended very long. He put an end to that question. He says, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater and I'll take my ease and I'll just please myself. And at last God says to him, you're a foolish fellow. You're but a fool. Because you've just evidenced to others the greatest tragedy in life. This man said, what shall I do? And that night he was lost. I'm thinking of another man in the Bible. And that man was a jailer in Philippi. He was a man that was cruel. He was a man that was callous. He was a man that had little feeling for the feelings of others. It would have been nothing to him to take the whip and to whip those that were under his charge in the prison house. And he had to be that kind of man to get the job that he had. And one day he had been on leave and he was down the street in the marketplace. We don't have them now, but they had them in those days. They had a big city square where all the people congregated. And he was down in the marketplace and he heard some preachers of the gospel, Paul and Silas by name. And he heard them tell that there was a God in heaven that had sent his Son into this world to be the Savior. and that he had died for our sins on the cross, and he was buried, and he was raised again the third day, and ascended back to heaven. That's the content of their preaching. And they were saying furthermore that that Jesus is proclaimed as Lord. Now this man had previously, to get his position in the jail, had to acknowledge that Caesar on the throne in Rome, Caesar was Lord. Now come these men and they're preaching Jesus as Lord. And this man refuses the message that he hears. And it's not long after that those two preachers of the gospel are brought under his charge. They're arrested for preaching the gospel. And they're brought into the charge of the jailer man at Philippi. And because of who they are, he throws them into the darkest, dampest, coldest part of the prison. And he puts their feet in the chains, in the stocks. And those two men who preached the gospel at midnight were singing and praying to God. And at that hour of their prayer and their cry to the God of heaven, there comes an earthquake that looses all the prison doors. And the prisoners could have escaped. And that jailer man failed in his duty. He was asleep on the job. And because he was asleep and thought the prisoners had gone, he took out his sword and was going to kill himself, because the authorities would have done it anyway. And Paul says, don't do any harm, we're all here. And that man that had heard the preaching of the gospel previously comes as he calls for a light at that midnight hour. He calls for a light and springs into that prison where those men are. And he asks the same question that this man asked. He says, what shall I do? What must I do to be saved? And Paul says to that man, he says, believe on the Lord. But you know, the point was, which Lord? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man did that. And that night, there was a man saved. That night, his sins were forgiven. He asked, what shall I do? What must I do to be saved? And those men said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have a same question asked. What shall I do? In the jailer man, it was a night time when he was saved. This man, it was a night time and he was lost. You see, that's the only two alternatives. There's only two ways. And we can't sit on the fence. Either we're moving to scenes of eternal night or scenes of eternal light. The jailer man moved into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at death. This man forever is shut out from his presence. Would you not call that the greatest tragedy in life? That a man could move through and not know God, and not know God's salvation, never know that his sins have been forgiven. Tell me now, we're in a night scene again. Will it be saved or lost? You know, there's a man who used to preach the gospel in the United States in a tent, not exactly the same as this, but in a tent anyway. And on his platform, he had a great big sign across the front. And on that sign, he had heaven or hell forever. That would arrest you if you came into the tent, wouldn't it? But it was true. The jailer man's in heaven forever. And the man that we read about is lost forever. I wonder what will happen when we die. I wonder what will happen when we're called to that point, when death comes. The poet has said, there is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary line between God's mercy and his wrath. We can move into the presence of the Lord Jesus because of a moment in time when we accepted him as Savior. We move out into the darkness of night like this man when God said, thou fool, everything's lost. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. May God help us to claim the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. For remember, the word of God has said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.